about to witness a revolution in high-performance technology. Its handling will astound you. Its power will take your breath away. But what makes this technology so revolutionary is what it runs on. Your imagination. Introducing Macintosh Quadra, the most powerful Macintosh ever.
Hello, and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. Alex Excelsior Heath, 30-plus. I'm your host, Aaron Elijah. I'm joined by three fantastic gentlemen. Leander Caney is here. Leander.
Hey, have fun.
Buster Hine is joining us. Buster.
Yo, yo.
Alex Excelsior Heath.
Howdy.
Who is chastising me before we hit record that the show's never actually 30 minutes anymore. You need to change it. 30 plus, Alex. And sometimes we hit, you know, the 30-minute mark, somewhere in there. I just can't remember the last time it happened. Can you guys?
It's been a while.
It's been quite a long time, but we've had so much to talk about. It's been justified. And, you know, I'll be honest. I don't think this show is going to be 30 minutes. Maybe 40. We might get away with 60. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. Obviously, hot off the press, we're going to be speaking about the new Apple invitation that just got sent out, which is great because I always hate when they release these things like literally right after we finish recording. So just when you thought it was safe to close your wallets, here we go again. I've got a crazy story to tell you guys. I have not let you guys in on any of the details. Something happened to me last week that I want to share with you, and it's going to blow your mind. It is Apple related. And in fact, for our listeners, I also want to ask their help in this specific situation. So we'll talk about that. Let's before we hop into the show, I want to give a thanks to Lynda.com for supporting this episode. Lynda has now almost 2,997 high-quality video courses for you to choose from, taught by industry-leading experts, and they can help you master virtually any application or topic all on your own time and at your own pace. Learn all you want for free. With a 7-day free trial, head on over to lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com/cultcast. I also want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. You guys have probably heard me talk a ton about Text Expander for the Mac. Well, Text Expander Touch 3 for your iOS device extends that experience into the world of iOS. So if you're constantly typing on your iOS device and you find it to be as awful as I do to type long paragraphs on your iOS device, check out Text Expander Touch. With a short abbreviation, you can have that expanded into a large block of text. You can also sync it with the snippets you have on your Mac. It's very handy. Check it out, smilesoftware.com/cultcast. I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. Wow. It's been way too long since we've had Apple announcements to talk about, guys.
Jeez,
I think it's been 2 weeks.
Right, it's been a real drought, isn't it?
just when my nipples are starting to settle back down into their non-pointing shape, I've been settling down. Now we have a whole new Apple invitation going out, and we're probably going to get a whole slew of new products. The motto is, "It's been way too long." I thought they were making a personal reference. I'm not quite sure what this means, but anyone want to take a guess? Leander, what do you think?
Way too long since they updated the Mac Mini.
Okay.
Don't think it's that, though.
I was just thinking they were just kind of being cheeky. It's been way too long since we last had one of these events.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Tim Cook was giggling. He was high-fiving Eddie Q when they were coming up with this.
They're going to shrink the iPhone.
You know what? I'm so tired of big screen iPhones. I feel like we just need a device that will fit in our hand. Like maybe we could take it back to 3 inches.
Yeah. The iPhone Mini.
What do you guys think? An iPhone Mini would be fantastic.
Phil Schiller's going to be like, we walk around with these giant devices in our hand. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just comfortably hold it?
Are you tired of getting your wiener pinched when you sit down with the 6 Plus in your pocket? Me too. My doctor says I need to switch.
That's something else entirely.
Why don't we talk, which is actually a valid problem for some people, I would say. Let's talk about what we expect from this event. Buster, I know you wrote a couple pieces about an iPad Air dummy unit. We're expecting updated iPads, obviously, right, guys? Probably going to be the main yeah. selling point of this event.
At least the iPad Air.
You don't think they would update the iPad Mini as well?
Well, there was that question a few weeks ago whether they would, because the iPhone 6 Plus has stolen so much of its thunder.
Right. I remember us talking about that. So you think there's a possibility that they'll delay that?
I don't know. We haven't seen any hardware for it.
That's true. Leaks. We haven't.
But we haven't seen a ton of iPad 2 leaks either.
Well, we saw something from the Michael Report, which, can anyone tell me what the Michael Report is? This is the first time I've ever heard of this website. Is this pretty well established?
No.
Dude.
I don't know.
This report was BS, man.
You think so?
This was all recycled information.
Okay, so this report came out from this website called the Michael Report, and they claim to have hands-on...
Was it Stiebler?
It might have been Stiebler. Stieber. I think you're mixing Stieber with Keebler Elves. They claim to have pictures and sketches and specs of the new iPad Air 2. But a lot of these features that they talked about have come out via other rumor sources over a period of time.
I think one thing they mentioned that was unique was taking the mute switch off, though. And that actually lined up with some leaks today.
Yeah, so we got a leak today. It was a video leak from, what was the website, Buster?
It was a Vietnamese website.
And they had a video of what they claimed to be the new iPad Air 2. And let's just run through some of the features that were displayed in the video and also from this Michael Report. So they said it's going to be thinner, up to a half or 5 millimeters thinner, because they're going to be using a laminated screen.
Point five millimeters. Yes. It will be a smidgen thinner. Yeah.
So wait a second. 5 millimeters. So it's still going to be like 7 millimeters thick.
Yeah.
I don't have space for that at my house. It's going to have, according reportedly to these rumors, an upgraded HD FaceTime camera. The back camera is going to be up to 8 megapixels now. As Buster said, the mute switch could be taken off. Do you guys ever use that switch on your iPads?
I use it on my iPhone all the time.
I do too. But on the iPad, it kind of seems pointless.
Right. Yeah, I never use it.
So that's probably why, if they needed to make it thinner, they felt like they could get rid of it. Because honestly, you can mute it in so many different ways. So recessed volume buttons, which means they, you know, are sit lower in the case, I'm guessing. Touch ID, which I think we're probably all going to be in agreement on, is going to be featured on every iOS device here too.
Yeah, dog.
On 4th. Yeah, you guys think so?
Especially with Apple Pay. Yeah.
Okay, so that was another part. They said it was going to include Apple Pay. Who's going to be carrying around their iPad to pay for stuff?
Apple Pay is not just for physical stores. You can also buy stuff on Amazon with Apple Pay or other websites. Like you're shopping on your iPad and boom, you just pay for it with Apple Pay.
There's going to be a big software element to Apple Pay. Like apps will be able to integrate it.
So I think a huge online Apple Pay option.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Oh, okay. It would make online shopping so much simpler. You know, you don't have to go long checkout process. I think that'll be pretty cool.
Like Amazon Instant Checkout on steroids.
Yeah.
I got to say, as a newbie to Touch ID, I used to have an iPhone 5 before I upgraded. It's fantastic. Being able to use your thumb to buy stuff, just even in iTunes, is so great. Having to enter your password is so 2014. And, you know, we're moving into 2015, so that's like almost embarrassing now. So it's nice to have Touch ID coming to all the iOS devices, at least reportedly. And then I know Alex will be excited about this. We might be getting a gold option, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Gold iPad for you? Is that a future purchase?
Gold iPhone, gold iPad. When the gold Mac comes out, there's going to be a gold MacBook. When that comes out, gold MacBook, gold watch. And I'll be broke and blinging.
Finally, devices that match the color of your underpants.
I love gold.
Finally.
Yes.
Finally. I know you've been very excited about that. Are you guys, if they release an iPad that has these spec bumps that we've just talked about, would you upgrade to the new iPads?
Nah.
What do you think, Leander?
No, I'm going to wait for the big one.
You mean for the 12.9 inch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
that's the one I want. But the iPhone 6 has already like sort of taken over a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
So do you think that – so you guys feel like the iPhone 6 Plus has taken over for your iPad mini use?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
Buster, you're saying so too?
Yeah, I didn't use mine a ton, my iPad mini anyway. But now, yeah, I never even touch it now that I have a Plus.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I'm about to sell my iPad Air.
Wow. I got to say, it hasn't affected my iPad use at all. I find that...
Well, that's what? We use it for more than a coaster, Irfan. That's why.
Yeah.
Hey, I think that's a valid use. Why don't you get off my back, Heath? So...
You're told this audio's gone horrible.
Yeah, is your it? Audio muffled a bit.
All right, sorry, guys. Had some fuzzy audio issues there. What the heck were we talking about?
Oh, we were talking about whether we would buy these new iPads.
Oh, yes. I was just saying, I don't know if I would buy it. It would depend on what it looks like and stuff as well. But we were talking about 6 Plus usage usurping our iPad mini usage. And I got to say, I don't think it's changed my iPad use at all. I mean, in fact, I feel like now instead of using my iPhone more, I'm using it less and I'm using my iPad just as much as I always was.
Really?
Because the 6 Plus is just so huge. I find that it's not as nimble as my last iPhone was, but my iPad mini is still better than my 6 Plus, so I end up using that instead.
I don't know.
Especially because I have like a nice case on my iPad, so like it's much easier to hold, and mm-hmm. I'm always worried that I'm going to drop my 6 Plus even still, so sometimes I just don't want to use it.
I think the 6 Plus is like a much better like two-handed device than like the iPad or iPad mini in some ways, because like... You can reach, if you use it like with two hands in landscape mode, which is my favorite, you can reach, you know, all the screen with both thumbs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of do like editing pictures on the 6 Plus way more than on the iPad and reading on it. It's, I don't know, the display is pretty awesome for how, like, it's a phone, you know?
I totally agree. Do you guys think that the new iPads are going to get the Retina HD displays that we got in the new iPhones?
I don't think so. I'm going to guess that was more like out of a necessity for developers, like scaling up the environments easier.
I'm kind of with you, Buster. I think that they're not going to include it just because of the expense. I mean, the 6 Plus is obviously a super expensive device, mm-hmm. and they always try to make the iPad, I think, cheaper to produce. So my guess is that it won't. I am kind of thinking about selling my iPad mini, though, and going with an iPad Air now.
I've thought of that too. I'm actually, like Leander said, I'm curious about the 13-inch iPad to see what it's going to look like, because I think that could be like a really cool work tablet.
Okay, so let's talk about this. So a crazy rumor came out that said not only is it going to be 12.9 inches, which we've talked about before, but DigiTimes was reporting that it's going to also be able to run both iOS and OS 10, kind of like the Windows Surface Pro tab. Which I think this rumor is absolutely comical. I don't think there's a chance this is going to happen. What do you guys think?
I don't see how that. I don't know if 2-in-1 would just be weird, right?
I mean,
plus you would have to have like a touch based OS X.
That's exactly it. They would all of a sudden have to reveal that there's a touch based version of Yosemite, and I just don't think they're going to do that. Plus, why? Why would you want to do this? Because the Surface tab does it.
Well, I don't think I would want to do it for that, but I do think that on OS X there are some things that are better, you know, work-wise. I think you can do some things a lot easier with like a laptop than an iPad. So I think it would be kind of nice to just switch in between those pretty seamlessly.
But Apple is always about creating the best device for the best experience. So, I mean, I totally agree with you. A lot of times I want to use my computer over iOS just because I'm able to be more efficient and more productive on a computer, but I don't know if they would build that experience into a tablet for that reason.
I think a lot of people misquoted this story because the headline on DigiTimes said Mac OS, iOS. If you look at the actual report, all it says is that it's a 2-in-1 device.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is based on like these supply chain sources. So people that I guess are seeing components and who probably definitely haven't seen the finished product. Yeah, the 12-inch... tablet prototype in development, and it's a 2-in-1 device. That could easily be someone misinterpreting that they're doing like split screen multitasking or something.
Yeah, yeah.
In iOS. Mm-hmm. Like, see, I really don't think this means at all. I don't think we should be jumping to this meaning Mac OS and iOS together. I think this is just being misconstrued. I think it's probably split screen.
Well, I don't think that I think you would have to do more than just regular iOS on a 12.9 inch iPad, because then it's iPad.
Yeah.
But then, so yes, you would have to have some OS X like features, I think, just for that iPad. And maybe that's what it's alluding to. Multitasking, not like,
or something.
You know, yeah, you can't necessarily switch to OS X if you want, but you know, it just has better productivity features in iOS.
Yeah, and Apple executives have made it pretty clear that like they see the Mac as one thing and iOS is something else. And they've even said, I think they said in that Macworld article a while back, that there's like no plans to integrate the two in the near future.
Exactly. So, I don't want my toaster running the same operating system as my iPhone.
Yeah. Well, the Mac's the workhorse, right?
Uh-huh.
The Mac's like the workhorse, and then the tablet is other things, and the iPhone's your mobile device, and they do different things. Like that's Microsoft doesn't have the design constraints to see that. They want everything to do everything because they're all about Windows, and Apple sees that different, you know, form factors serve different purposes.
Exactly. Leander, were you going to add something to this? Sorry.
Well, you know, it's totally absurd, I think. There's no way they're going to do it. What about, you know, handoff? That was the sort of productivity tip to Mac OS X in iOS, right? I mean, that's how they're going to make it, you know, sort of quote-unquote more productive, mm-hmm. by tying it in closer to your Mac. So if there's things you want to continue working on, it makes it easy to do that, well, handoff.
Yeah. I mean, I was just
thinking,
there's
no way they're going to do a dual a Mac OS X.
No, it's absurd. It's truly absurd. Yeah. Buster, were you going to say something else?
Well, they don't have to do something like that. I mean, with iOS 8, I mean, it makes it so easy to like work from an iPad, and then if you need to like switch that project over to a Mac, you can seamlessly do that now with handoff and continuity, you know?
Actually, I think your point right there is probably the biggest reason why I think this is absolutely not going to happen, because they're building those features in so that, as you said, you can hand work off between one device and another, which we should probably actually talk about, you know, 72, because it's also going to be announced at this event, methinks, I hope. Before we do that, I do want to say thank you to Lynda, lynda.com/cultcast, for supporting this episode. I love lynda.com. I think it's great. If you're trying to keep your skills sharp, maybe you want to learn a application for business, maybe you want to do some personal development, lynda.com has just about 3,000 high-quality video courses for you to choose from now, all available 24/7. You can watch them from your iOS device, your iPad, your iPhone, from your Mac, and you can learn on your own time at your own pace, and they don't just teach applications. If you want to learn Photoshop or Maya or After Effects, you can do that, but they also help you learn websites that you might want to learn how to use, like the Twitter, the YouTube. Buster, I know you're dying to learn how to use YouTube. But actually, you know what's funny is, remember when we did our live episode, it was actually really complicated. There's a lot of stuff that goes on with YouTube, especially if you decide you want to start making videos regularly and broadcasting them live. Lynda has videos that will help you navigate those websites and do those things. Plus, you can learn about topical issues like leadership and business. You could learn how to be a better marketer in the mobile space. I mean, all these various topics are all available in these really great bite-sized video segments that you can ingest anywhere you are on pretty much any device that you own, and revisit anytime you want to learn about a topic that maybe you don't quite remember the details of. You can search all the different videos by anything that was spoken within those video courses, so they're really easy to find the segments that you're looking for. I just think Lynda's great, and for only $25 a month, you get 24/7 access to their entire catalog, which I think is an incredible value. If you want to check it out, you can learn all you want for free for 7 days at lynda.com/cultcast. That's lynda.com. Go check it out. You've got nothing to lose. And like I said, you can watch their entire breadth of catalog videos for 7 days, all for free. lynda.com/cultcast. I want to thank Lynda for supporting this episode. Buster, Yosemite, you started talking about some of the new features just a minute ago, and we're expecting to see it at this press event, correct?
Yeah.
And do you think it'll be available right away after the press event?
Probably, yeah. I haven't downloaded the latest GM, but the first one seemed really solid.
I'm really excited about this. I know you guys have been using it for what, like 2 months now?
Yeah.
What would you say the best differences are between the previous version and Yosemite?
I think the overall, just the polish that was put onto it. It just look, everything is a little bit flatter, a little bit cleaner and stuff, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Alex, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Buster. And I haven't really, the whole handoff thing, I haven't really used that much. I've tried it just for like proof of concept, but like I don't use a lot of Apple's stock apps very much, like mail and stuff, where it would come in handy. So, but once a lot of the third party apps start getting updated with that, I think I'll use it more. I really like the new Safari. I've been using that.
What's better about it?
Tab management's a lot better. You can like get a, you can zoom out and like see all your open tabs and close them and reorder them without like losing your way like you did before. And, it's just nicer overall. It's just a little faster, and I don't use Chrome, so I like it a lot.
I'm with you. Like the handoff features that I saw with Pages and with Mail, I have never once started an email on my iPhone and been like, I really want to finish this email on my computer at home. That doesn't seem to be a feature that I'm going to really use that often, and nor does it excite me very much. Lander,
I'm sure people will.
I'm sure there will be people that will love it, yeah. Leander, what do you think about those handoff features?
Yeah, I'd like to learn how to use them. You know, like these guys are saying, you know, it's kind of limited right now, and I've seen it pop up a couple of times on the phone, and they do make it easy for you. You know, it's quite it's kind of visible. You know, so I can see it's a prompt for you to learn a new workflow. But it's you know, I have these ridiculously antiquated ways of doing things that I'm so bad. At learning how to use a computer in any kind of efficient way.
Do you still email everything to yourself?
Yeah, I email stuff to myself. And do stupid shit like that. It's so dumb, you know. So I'm not even in the 2000s with my workflow. You know, alone, 2014.
Yeah. You so, got to get on that pocket, the pocket stuff with the saving links and stuff with iOS 8. You can
That is huge. Really, that's really huge. And you can also do it with Evernote too. So if you find something in Safari, you can say you can upload the link directly to Evernote so that it's you know filed with all your different notes. Super handy.
Huh.
Although I don't know if they have that feature available via the Opera browser, which is what you're using, right?
No, it's the Netscape Navigator.
Netscape Navigator. You're using Internet Explorer for Mac.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the only way you can see the Flint Center website these days. So.
Any other expectations for this event before we move on, guys?
What do we say? iPads?
We're talking about iPads. IMAX. Yeah. Well, there were rumors of a super slim MacBook Air, which would have, which would be thinner and have no fans, and come in gold, which is Alex's favorite again. Are we expecting to see that at the event?
I thought that's not till next year.
Okay, it might be. I just thought I'd ask.
Possibly a
I
Mac
love
Mini.
Gold.
I was waiting for someone to drop that. Thank you, Alex.
I love gold.
I love gold so much that I even lost my genitalia in an unfortunate smelting accident.
Buster, what else are you saying?
Maybe a Mac Mini.
Okay, so I have heard a few people ask about that. Are you guys excited about a new Mac Mini?
No, but I think it's like, you know, it's the poor man's Mac. So, you know, Apple has to update it eventually.
You mean the frugal man's Mac.
Yeah. I've used the Mac Mini.
Actually, Mac Minis are great if you have a screen already.
Oh, totally.
Although I prefer a notebook. How do you guys know when the last time...
And we should be... The Mac Mini was updated?
Yeah.
It's like 750-something days.
Has it really been that long?
Yeah, and wow. I was going to say... A screen for that would be nice if they updated the Thunderbolt display, which guess what? Has not been updated.
4K display.
Yeah, or it would actually be 5K technically, based on the rumors. Yeah, but guess how long the Thunderbolt display has not been updated?
I'm guessing 3 years.
Days.
Over 1,200 days.
Wow.
Years.
Wow. I would be bummed. I just kind of hope they never updated it because I just bought a monitor. So I selfishly don't want them to release a new one because I'm going to be kicking myself for not having waited for that because it's going to be an amazing display once they finally update
it. Is that officially the oldest product then in the lineup, the current lineup?
No, the Classic still wins.
The Classic's gone.
Yeah, it's not on the website anymore.
Don't you listen to the Cultcast?
So I guess product that they still sell, then yeah.
Huh.
Okay, they still sell. Yeah, I would say that would be part of the definition. I mean, they haven't updated the the CRT iMac in 10 years.
I've been waiting for a new eMac for years.
Yeah, I forgot that they discontinued the Classic just recently.
They might be selling in the stores, though. They
might if there's any stock left.
My neighbor has one still in the original box. I'm sure he'd let me borrow it if you guys want me to take some pictures and send it to you. Okay, let's move on from that. I have a whopper of a story to tell you guys, as promised. You guys, I don't think you're going to believe this. And I'm really hoping that our listeners can help me rectify this situation. So on Friday, I was robbed. And you guys probably think I'm joking, but I'm not. Somebody stole my iPhone 6 Plus from me.
You're joking.
What? I'm dead serious. So let me lay some groundwork here. So those of you who follow me on Twitter know that I ordered two iPhone 6 Pluses. I pre-ordered one, and it was sight unseen, right? Because Apple announced it. We all pre-ordered it. And then once they actually got them in the store, I went in several times to check them out, and then I decided the one I had pre-ordered is not the one that I wanted. So I bought a different one, and the one that I finally received, I decided that I wanted to return. Well, I waited too long, and I couldn't return it, so I decided to sell it on Craigslist.
No way.
So, check this out, okay? So I list this thing on Craigslist. And on last Friday, I got a text, and the person said, "Hey, is your phone still available?" And I was like, "Yes." And we had a conversation about the condition. He wanted to know if it was brand new. And I was like, "Yes, it is, sealed in the box." You know, just like questions any seller would ask you. So we agreed to meet at a 7-Eleven in Shoreline, which is one city north of Seattle. It's very close to where I live. I meet the guy there. And when I get there, he's not there yet. I text him, and I'm like, "Hey, I'm here." And he says, "I'm on my way," and about 2 minutes later, he shows up. So I produce the iPhone 6 Plus. It's in the box. It's in my hand, and I'm like, "Here it is. Do you want to check it?" He grabs it out of my hand and takes off running.
Oh, man.
I mean, just booking it. And I'm standing there in the middle of the 7-Eleven parking lot just in shock, right? So I'm like, "Oh, hell no.
Bad boys, what you gonna do?"
So I start booking after this fool. I'm gonna kill him, right? I'm like, my adrenaline's going. I chase this guy around the block, and he's ducking and weaving through these streets, and I can barely see him. And, you know, quite honestly, he got a head start on me. but he was faster than I was. I'd say this guy was probably about 17, maybe 17 to 21. He looked like a nice kid, and he just totally caught me off guard, you know? So I chase him, and I round this corner that he runs around, and by the time I see him, he's about 20 feet away from a parked, brand new model Subaru Impreza. And so they had totally set me up. They had me meet them at this location. He had his buddy go wait around the corner in his car. And for the first time in my life, I was jealous of the Nokia phone. You know why? Because I busted out my iPhone, and I started taking pictures of this car, which was speeding away from me, and I couldn't zoom in close enough to actually read the license plate, because the iPhone camera is only 8 megapixels. And the Nokia's 40. And for the first time ever, I was jealous of that camera on that phone. Because if I had that Nokia phone, I would have been able to zoom in and read the license plate.
Well, you might have said...
Oh, my God.
That's
crazy. You might have to do some image analysis. Like, maybe not. I don't know.
Well... If any of our listeners out there are good with image analysis, email me, airfon@cultamac.com. I will send you this image. But here's the other hook. So ever since this happened, I've been doing some research, because I'm like, you know, this guy was, as far as I know, I'm waiting to hear from the cops. He was caught on the 7-Eleven surveillance video footage, because he was standing right in front of it.
Yeah.
But he was texting me, right? So I have his phone number that he was texting from. And I did some research, and the company that provides the service is called Bandwidth.com. And my brother, who is an attorney, agreed to take on my case. He contacted Bandwidth for a large fee. He contacted Bandwidth.com, and they said, "We actually don't own this phone number. It's owned by a company," because they wholesale their services out. "It's owned by a company called Pinger, and Pinger makes the very popular I think the app is called Text Free. It's available for iOS, for Android. And so I think what this – here's what I think happened. This was some teenage kid.
Burner number on you, man.
I don't think so. I think
you
that –
You don't think so?
Well, that's what the cops
that's
said.
What I would use is I would use a burner
I don't think
on
this
you,
guy
dude.
Was that smart. He,
I guarantee you he has to have been that
well,
smart.
I think
it sounds like they do it a lot.
Well, I think he was trying to be smart, but he installed Pinger – or he installed text-free on his smartphone. I mean, don't you have to have a smartphone to install an app like that? I think you do.
No, you can use it from the web, man.
Really?
Yeah.
But when
Pinger, text-free web. Sign up for free. It's on their website, yeah.
But if you have a phone number, wouldn't they link that to your
you get
IP
a
address?
Free texting number, and you can send unlimited text messages.
But
I mean, maybe, yeah. Maybe
but here's
you
the thing. I mean,
Pinger
I know. Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out. So my brother's going to contact them next. But if we have any listeners that know more about this than I do, or maybe you're in the FBI or something, maybe you have a skill set. Maybe you're like Liam Neeson. You have a skill set that would be very useful in this situation. I'm trying to catch this guy because I think we have a great shot. I mean, there's got to be a digital signature that either links to his device or to his IP address, right? And actually, Buster, he was texting me up until about 2 minutes before he showed up.
Yeah.
So he was walking to my car, texting me on the way there. So he had to have been using a smartphone. At least that's how it seems to me. So if anyone out there can help me, if anyone out there has a tip, maybe you know how to contact someone at one of these companies that could get us some more information. I'm trying to come up with a device ID, an IP address, you know, something that will link us to this guy. And I have a picture of the car that they use, which is a brand new car. So I'm thinking he was driving his parents' Subaru, you know, and they just decided they were going to get themselves a free iPhone 6
story.
Plus.
That's great.
Yeah, I have a whole story, man.
What are their names?
Bill and Ted. So I installed the text-free app on my iPhone, and I called my number that I signed up for, and I got the exact same voicemail as he had. So uh-huh. I think he was using a phone. In any case, if anyone wants to help me, email me, airfon@cultamac.com. I think working together, we can bust this guy.
When was this?
This was Friday. Right. This was last right. Friday.
God, so, I don't know. It sounds like a cold case.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe it is. And that's kind of what the police said to you. But here's the thing. We've got a digital device that he was using, and those things leave trails everywhere. It's hard to be anonymous on the internet. It's not like he just came and grabbed it out of my hand, you know, and he was emailing me from some burned, you know, Hotmail email address or something. So I kind of figure, you know what, this might go nowhere, but it's worth a shot, right? Because the police never investigate this stuff. They're dealing with murders. They're dealing with serious crimes. Like, I doubt they put their best detective on the case for this.
You don't think they treat iPhone robberies with the utmost seriousness?
Maybe if I had a Samsung Galaxy Note, they'd be taking this more serious. But, you know, I think for them, they're kind of like, hey, you know, sorry.
Did he like say anything to you? He just grabbed
yeah,
it out of
yeah,
your hand
we talked. We talked for probably about 10 seconds. We chit-chatted, and then I said, well, here's the device. And before I could even finish, boom, grabbed it and took off running.
So he wasn't like, he wasn't weird or like cagey
Dude,
or like
he
shaky
was totally,
when you were talking?
Totally normal. Totally
like
normal.
Like anything to give you the heebie-jeebies that maybe
Nothing.
I shouldn't hand this
he
dude
looked
my
like
iPhone?
No. He looked like a nice guy. He looked like Eminem circa 1995. He kind of had bleach blonde hair. He's wearing a white t-shirt. He was probably about 6 foot. I mean, no, he looked like a normal dude, Alex. It's like if you had walked up and asked me to see my phone, I would have given
it to
you. Well,
no, if I would have walked up, I would have been in a pinstriped suit. You would have known what was going down.
I would be like, I really dig that cane. Do you want to hold my iPhone 6 Plus? Yeah, I mean, and that's kind of the lesson for anyone listening. I mean, I've never really, I sell stuff on Craigslist all the time. I've never had an issue.
Yeah, this that's is like one of my worst fears.
Yeah, man, and that's why if I would ever sell anything on Craigslist, I would have it be like in the middle of the mall or something where we meet. Like somewhere where if they literally tried to run away, like it would take them a while
well,
to get
dude,
to a car.
I thought I was doing the smart thing. I'm like, we're meeting on a public road in a 7-Eleven parking lot full
of
people.
Yeah, man, but like what he did, he could get in a car so quickly because it's just right off the road, you know? Like if
that's
you're in
true.
Like a mall and you bring a friend, someone tries to run, you get the mall cop on him in a Segway. And you're running. Yeah, there's no way they're going anywhere.
They never would have stolen Steve Wozniak's phone. He would have caught up to him in a Segway.
Yeah, they try to steal Woz's phone. They're done.
I keep replaying this scenario in my head. It was obviously very traumatic, right? And I keep replaying the scenario in my head, and I was like, man, in my imagination, I'm carrying like a pistol. And as he's running away, I just straight shoot him in the leg.
Break yourself, fool!
And watch him collapse as I go over.
Leg.
And
just,
oh, yeah. I wish I was there.
I'm not going to shoot to kill, Leander. He just stole a phone.
Don't even blow him away.
I just want to maim him for life.
Were you wearing skinny jeans? Is that why you couldn't run it down at the time?
You know that's a silly question. Of course it was. Yeah, I was like, I can't.
What kind of shoes did you have on?
I can't go full stride. I'm in my skinny jeans. I ran. Hey, look, I used to be in track in high school, and I ran as fast as I could after that guy, and he was like the wind. He was like the wind. I could not catch him. I was trying as hard as I could. And when I ran to that corner and I saw that car that he was running towards, I was like, you got to be kidding me. But,
dude,
you know.
If I would have been there, I would have caught him, man, for you. I'm
well,
pretty fast.
I bet you could have, but I couldn't.
Not if I would have eaten the chicken before, but.
Yeah, you would have been full on KFC chicken. You would have gone nowhere fast. You would have been behind me.
Oh, man. That sucks.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to figure out what to do about the situation. Obviously, not a good scenario. It's a very expensive phone. And the kicker is I had just paid it off. So I bought it on AT&T Next because that's how you have to pre-order a phone with AT&T. And so I had just paid it off before I went to meet him because I wanted to make sure that he could activate it on his account. So I'm like, right. So I just made a huge payment and it was like, you know, I don't even know how much the phone was.
You can't kill switch it, huh?
They can. They can kill switch it. But the thing about kill switching, which I've just learned, is if you do that, it bricks the phone. They can't undo it. So once you kill switch it, that's it.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it's forever. It makes
so
it
you
into
need
a
to wait. You need to wait to make sure that you're not going to be able to get it back, and then you'll kill switch it just out of spite.
Yeah, at the end of this week, if I don't hear back, I'm just going to go ahead and do that. And then if we catch him, he's obviously going to have to pay me for the phone, right? With his life. And one of his relatives, perhaps. It depends on how good of a mood I'm in. But I honestly, man. I know you don't believe it, Buster. I think we got a good chance of busting this fool.
I mean, I hope you do.
I'm going to crack this case wide open.
I'm not optimistic.
Yeah,
but there was a case last year that the cop police chief in Berkeley, his son lost his iPhone and they tracked it down and found my iPhone and he got like 12 cops on it.
Wow.
Yeah, every squad car. Remember when I did that over the summer, and it turns out it was somebody I knew who didn't steal it, but I got like 3 cop cars.
That's right. You told that story on this show. So yeah. For those asking about Find My iPhone, another one of the things I learned is the best time to steal a phone is when it's brand new because there's literally nothing activated on it. Find My iPhone isn't turned on. Apple can't help you. Your carrier probably can't help you. There's just really not a ton of recourse.
Yeah, I feel like activation lock at that point is like the equivalent of like pooping on someone's lawn when they're not home. Like it's just kind of out of spite. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it does. It does nothing. So yeah. I'm not really sure what else I can do. But I know we have a lot of people that work for Apple that listen to this show and for AT&T that listen to this show. So maybe somebody out there could help me bust this case wide open like Columbo.
Tim Cook. He'll get on it.
Oh, man. Can you imagine the wrath of Tim Cook when he finds out that you stole his iPhone? He'd kill you. Yeah. He'd grab your heart out of your chest like in Indiana Jones, and he'd make you watch it beat as you slowly died.
Yeah. Oh, no, y'all didn't.
Oh, no, you didn't, y'all. So that's my theft story. I want to share that all with you guys. Before we move on, I do want to give a shout out to Smile Software for supporting this episode. Hey, you know what I hate, guys? Even on my 6 Plus, typing long paragraphs on my iPhone, especially because the size of the phone is bigger, I find that I make a lot more mistakes than I used to. Well, that's where Text Expander comes in. Text Expander Touch, I should say. You guys have probably heard me talk about Text Expander for Mac. It's one of my favorite utilities. And Text Expander for iOS is just as useful. It allows you to create these short snippets that you could use within the app to expand into larger blocks of text. So you can use those in any application that you have on your iOS device because they built in a brand new keyboard. So now you can activate the keyboard and you can use it in any application that you type in and you can use it to activate your Text Expander snippets. Plus, the Text Expander iOS app will sync via Dropbox with all the snippets that you've created on your Mac. That's a feature that I was really excited about for a long time because previously it was a little bit more difficult to use. And now you create a snippet on your Mac, you sync it with Dropbox, and that snippet is available on Text Expander Touch for your iOS device. It saves a lot of time. If you use your phone to type emails a lot, maybe you type text messages a lot, it saves you effort, it saves you time. It's a super handy tool. Check it out in action. You can head on over to smilesoftware.com/cultcast. They have a video there that you can watch that will show you how Text Expander Touch works and there's a lot more information. And I want to thank Smile Software for supporting this episode. They make so many great iOS apps and Mac apps that I use every day. I just really love their software a lot. We want to thank them for supporting this episode. Okay, guys. Leander, I wanted to ask you about something that you did last week. You visited the Steve Jobs Cemetery. Is that right?
Right, I did, yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. I know some people found it to be a bit macabre, but I actually thought it was cool. So Steve Jobs passed away. The anniversary of his death was on Sunday, I believe.
Right.
And so you took a trip down there to the cemetery and just kind of took your family down there and hung out. What was it like? What was the trip like? And what did you guys go see?
I was curious to see if, there was going to be tributes there, because there had been years previously.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the last couple of years, but, I wanted to, and also I wanted to see if the family had put some kind of marker on his gravestone. I thought that, I suspected that, I think there's probably going to be a marker at some point. And, I just wanted to see, plus we wanted to go, we were going to go swimming. And there's a really nice public pool down in Palo Alto. And it was
Jeez, it must be really nice. You're willing to drive all the way down there to go swimming.
It's not that far. It's it's a half hour car ride from here. And the kids wanted to go swimming. But unfortunately, they closed the pool for the season. So anyway, they were going nuts around the house. So I was curious. I don't think there was anything macabre, but I saw we got some knocks for it. And why?
I've always wanted to make a trip down there kind of as tribute as well.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree. I don't think there's anything weird about it at all. It's like, as somebody who wrote a book about him and as people who kind of admire his work, I mean, it kind of makes perfect sense that you might want to go down there and just kind of check it out and hang out there and maybe leave some flowers or something.
Well, I wanted to go see if other people left flowers at the Apple Store. I mean, if you remember the Palo Alto Apple Store when he died, I mean, their windows were covered for weeks in post-it notes and tributes.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of stuff outside his house as well.
Did you say that Apple Store is closed down now?
Yeah, well, the original one is closed and it's empty, and they've moved a couple of blocks down the street to a much bigger one.
Oh, okay.
That has a glass ceiling and looks like, pretty amazing store.
Super fancy.
Yeah.
So not really very much to see down there then.
There was nothing to see. It was, there was nothing at all. There was nothing at his house. There was a group of tourists taking some pictures of his house, but it's in a really quiet neighborhood, and there was just a couple of people walking their dogs. But otherwise, nothing going on.
And you said in your piece on Cult of Mac, you said that they actually didn't really identify like the plot or anything, right? It's just kind of unmarked.
Yeah, it's an unmarked grave. It's totally unmarked.
Do they not want people that, like, going and visiting it and leaving flowers and stuff? Do you think that's why?
Well, no one's ever explained, and it might be his family. I suspect it's him. I'd say there was definitely a good chance that they didn't want it to turn into a shrine. But if that were the case, then there might be other ways to mark the grave.
Wasn't he a Buddhist, or did he even want a classic burial? Was he burnt? Was he ashes?
That's what I thought.
I don't know. Where he's buried is, there's a lot of other, there's a lot of other burial sites. It's not in the part where the, I think normally they put the urns into a different place, right?
Yeah.
Although people do bury urns.
I just figured he would be somebody that would be burned.
Said the same thing.
No one's ever said, but he's buried.
That could be interpreted wrong.
No, cremated. Yeah, cremated. I'm with you, man. Cremated. I'm with you.
Yeah. He's just so minimalist. He'd want to go out minimalist,
Yeah.
I thought he would be buried, under a tree or something like that.
Well, then how did you find it then, Leander? Position.
Well, Tracy looked up a video that some Italian bloggers had made shortly after his death, and they found a fresh plot.
Uh-huh.
And narrowed it down. So I don't know,
So you don't actually know if you're even where?
No, we based it upon, what these Italian bloggers had done. They made a video about it, and we retraced their steps. And then I found someone had left a couple of bouquets of flowers and some printouts, some cards, homemade sort of postcards with the Apple icon and some writing in Mandarin on the back, which we've got translated to say it's, to the great innovator Steve Jobs, rest in peace.
Oh, it wasn't even written in English? You had it translated?
Yeah, it was written in the Mandarin.
Oh, wow.
And so someone had been there and left some flowers. They had it, they didn't leave it in the same place that the Italian blogger said that he is buried. But who knows, It's quite a big cemetery, and it's very low key. It's very, you know, it's obviously a cemetery for ordinary people. It's not full of, you know, it's not a big fancy cemetery. And there were flowers everywhere, you know, so it's obviously people visit, you know, like a lot of cemeteries I've been to are neglected and overgrown and, you know, the flowers are all dead. But this one was full of all, you know, new flowers and new balloons and lots of tributes. And people were very, you know, it was a well-visited, well-tended cemetery. And I was, you know, I wondered whether the family had left something, you know, at his graveside. And they may well have done if we got the wrong place, they could have done.
Yeah, you know, exactly. I guess you can never really be sure if you're at the right place, but
yeah, I think Jobs just, you know, it was funny when I was researching his book, he was always talking about death. He almost had a you know, a Thanatos syndrome.
I think you're right.
Obsessed,
I mean,
with death.
Even with that, we played that that Stanford commencement address last show.
For the past 33 years, I've looked in the mirror every morning and asked myself, if today were the last day of my life, would I want to do what I am about to do today?
And he used that mechanism as a motivation in his life to do things that he wanted to do. He was always thinking about, you know, do I want to do this today? If today was my last day to live, would I want to continue doing what I'm doing? Which is interesting, because for me, that mechanism doesn't really work. No. I'm like, yeah. I don't know. I'm not going to die hopefully anytime soon. So
yeah.
Scully told me that when he was in his 20s, he was always telling Scully that he didn't think he was going to live to be on beyond 30 or 35, and he thought that he was going to die young. He really, really did believe that.
I used to believe that about myself. I never thought I would make it to 21. Yeah.
I think it's hard when you're that age to imagine that you're ever going to be, you know, like really old, like 35.
Yeah, now I'm 64.
Yeah, no.
And I'm just as youthful as ever.
Now you just want to live through your Craigslist sale.
Well, he cheated death a couple of times. I mean, like, I think his experience with cancer, you know, he...
Right.
I think he sort of cheated death for, you know, a couple of times there for a little while, for several years. I mean, he thought the initial diagnosis was going to be terminal. He'd only have a few months to live, and he ended up living for quite a few years beyond that, you know.
Right after he got that surgery.
Yeah, and I just think, you know, my dad doesn't have a headstone, and he was just really unsentimental about it. He just, it had no utility to him. He felt that death was final, and I don't know, that was what I related to. I just thought Jobs maybe felt the same way.
Yeah,
it was pointless, really.
At first it's kind of surprising to hear how simple it is, but then when you think about kind of his philosophy and design and keeping things simple, it kind of makes sense. Like, he just, you know, was buried somewhere and it might be unmarked, and he just doesn't want anyone messing with it, or, you know, or building it into some huge show of flowers and stuff. Like, he just kind of wants to be at peace.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure that it would ever turn into a, you know, I don't know, it probably would go on there.
I mean, probably maybe it would. If there was a big shrine down there, it would be like the Jim Morrison Memorial, or like Jimi Hendrix. I think it would be.
If he had a simple plaque, I mean, you know, I think a lot of people do this, right? People visit grave sites of famous people. Mm-hmm. And I've done it in London and in Paris. And, you know, we went to see Johnny Cash's grave when we were in Nashville.
Oh, well, that would be cool.
Well, it was and it wasn't. You know, I mean, it was just, it was a simple plaque. And,
right.
I think, you know, people do want to go to visit the graves of their heroes and people they admired. You know,
yeah,
I think
totally.
Longer term, it's a good thing to have. In the short term, I can see how they'd be afraid that it would turn into this kind of shrine and it would become a tourist destination. And, but I think longer term, it's important to have a plaque or some kind of memorial to historical figures.
I totally agree, especially for someone that has had such an impact on society or the world,
really,
he had. So I hope in the next, you know, 5-10 years that maybe they would put something up, at least put something up somewhere. Maybe they could put it up at like Infinite Loop or something, like they did at Disneyland with like the statue of like Walt Disney.
Right.
That'd be pretty cool. Anyway, let's wrap up on something maybe a little bit more upbeat.
I'm trying to think now. What's he going to do? Holding an iPod in his hand?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
He's going to be holding Mickey Mouse's hand. Yeah.
I was thinking Johnny Ives' hand.
Johnny Ives. He's carrying Johnny Ives in his arms.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up on something a little more upbeat. Let's talk about this iPhone prototype that this guy ordered. Well, this guy ordered an iPhone for his mom, you know, from Verizon, just as anyone would order an iPhone, just as I did before it was stolen from me violently. And he received an iPhone that his mom then said was broken, and he realized this was actually an iPhone 6 prototype that had accidentally been mailed to him by Verizon. Leander, you spoke with him, didn't you?
Yeah, well, we corresponded by email. But yeah.
What happened with this guy?
I followed up, and he hasn't explained. It just got pulled. I mean,
how does somebody order an iPhone and act? It must have come from the factory that way.
Yeah, it came in a box, and he thought he gave it to his mom, and his mom, didn't notice it immediately. She just said she took it a few hours, and it was later on she said this thing's acting up.
She took it into the Apple Genius, and he's like, "Where did you get this?"
Right. Well, he recognized it immediately what it was, and so put it up on eBay, and for the first couple of days it didn't go that. It got a few bids, I guess, but by the end of the second day it was 16,000, by the third day it was 60, and then on the halfway through the next day, it had gone up to more than 100,000.
Wow. And
they looked like they were kind of qualified bids, because the bidders had pretty good reputation. So it wasn't a whole bunch of sock puppets.
My favorite part about this listing is he put free shipping as included, but only if the price exceeds $4,000.
What?
Yeah. So it's like, if you're under 4,000, you pay shipping. But if it's over 4,000, I'll include it for free. So this thing got as it got above 100,000, as Leander said. But it looks like the actual auction is now closed.
Yeah, it's been pulled. He was by the time when it got to up to 100,000, he was like, "Oh man," he was really bummed out because he knew he wasn't gonna, get that kind of money. He was actually more excited about Apple giving him a nasty gram. He was more excited about getting a nasty letter from Apple telling him to take it down and return their property.
That's probably what happened, don't you think?
Yeah, it looks
they got wind of this and set the people in white coats over to his house.
Right.
How crazy is it that they actually sold that by accident? Like, it just blows my mind.
It had to have been intentional. Somebody who worked at the factory had to have boxed this thing up intentionally.
I just don't see how.
Well, aren't these things put through all sorts of tests before they box them up and send them out? They don't just build one and box it and send it off. Like, they test it.
Maybe they were running low of stock. I mean, they were trying to get their hands on everything, right?
They're so low on stock, they had to send them the prototypes.
Right. There's a bunch in that room back there. Just go get them and box them up.
Then maybe that's what happened. I mean, I was reading, I'm sure you guys can corroborate, that the 6 Plus demand has surprised even Apple. And they thought they were going to sell a lot more of the regular iPhone 6s, but the demand for the 6 Plus has just been enormous. In fact, they're still not shipping for 3 to 4 weeks. And I heard they were increasing production capacity just because so many people are ordering the big phone. I don't actually know very many people that aren't ordering the big phone. Everyone I've talked to is ordering the 6 Plus. Well, or except for Alex. Alex decided to go small. Yeah. Well, actually, I'm a little envious, I'll be honest.
At least I have one.
Yeah. Well, I have one too. I just don't have my other one. In any case, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. What do you say, fellows?
Sure.
Let's do it. All right. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But, we would thoroughly enjoy conversing with you on Twitter. I'm at Airfon, Buster's BST3R, Alex is Alex E. Heath, Leander is L. Kaney. And, of course, for all the upcoming news on iPhone and iPad, make sure you're following Cult of Mac. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. I think I'm going to have to call Inspector Gadget to help me with this thing. Great case.
Yep. Supply.
Oh, nothing. I just stuffed myself with a bunch of fried chicken, so I'm feeling pretty.
Where's it from?
Cane's, man.
I haven't heard of it.
Oh, you getting on that Cane's.
Did you go in there with your ascot and your white suit and just be like, give me a bucket?
No, man.
I'd say, wouldn't let you in. What's so good about their chicken? Because I think
they're really into quality control, so
it feels slightly fresher than KFC.
Yeah, they make everything fresh.
Did
and
you say
they
it
do...
seems slightly fresher than KFC?
Yeah, slightly. I'm not gonna say it's
gonna
like
say,
the
that's
salt.
That's not
that
a very high step.
No, it's way
still
fresher.
Fast food, but I mean, I think for fast food, fried chicken is pretty good.
So good, man. I always feel sick afterwards, but I still love it.
Oh, that's how you know they do it right. You just want to puke your guts out afterwards.
Well, I think that the coleslaw balances it out.
Oh, I love coleslaw. Is Leander Kaney here?
Yeah. Hey.
Oh, there he is.
Can you hear me?
Hello, hello. Yeah.
I said hello earlier, and everyone ignored me, just like at home. Just like the rest of my life.
We were talking about Alex's chicken experience. He just ate like 20 pieces of fried chicken.
What?
We're expecting his explosive diarrhea to kick in at any moment.
Why'd you go on a chicken binge, Alex?
Because I was hungry, and we got fried chicken abounds here, so... There's one right by my house. It's terrible. Yeah, the chicken game is pretty strong around these parts. I hate it. I probably eat chicken no less than 5 out of 7 days a week. In some form or the other. Like, it's just in everything.
So you don't always eat fried chicken, but chicken's an ingredient of your
life.
Like,
I had chicken for lunch. I had a chicken wing for lunch.
A chicken wing for lunch.
And I just had 4 more strips.
Is that all it was? Just a chicken wing? Yeah. On it? Just like, give me a chicken wing. That's so foreign to me. I don't even know if there's a place I could go order a chicken wing besides KFC, which also sells like tacos and who knows.
What about TGIF? You know, you get a plate of wings and
Oh, B Dubs, yeah.
TGIF? Is that a Fridays type place?
Yeah. That is Fridays.
TGIF Fridays.
I think they closed it. We used to have one up here and they closed.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They did at Hooters too.
They closed the Hooters.
Now that I've been there. Well, the kids wanted me to take them to Hooters.
Why?
Because I got some wings.
Yeah, I've been there once. I went there for my birthday when I was 18, and they made me dress up in that tank top and the short shorts and dance around on a stool.
Oh, who did? The girls or the friends?
The girls.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Fun.
Yeah, it was a great birthday.
How old did you say you were?
18. I think it was my 18th birthday. It might have been 21.
So no drinking?
No, I can't remember. I was so traumatized by the orange shorts. That's all I recall. I don't remember anything
else. The wings aren't that good. No one goes there for the wings.
Oh, they go there for the owls.